This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, we all want to do something to make ourselves just a bit healthier in 2025. You've probably seen it. My local park is full of determined-looking joggers, and the supermarkets are pushing what they're calling healthy options. And we do all of this in the hope that we'll lose a bit of weight, perhaps, and probably, looking forward, we'll reduce our risk of heart problems, of cancer, and even perhaps stave off dementia. But what you might not realise is that you can reduce all of those risks without even tensing a muscle, without even saying no to one chocolate. No plodding around the park, no hiding the chocolate biscuits at the back of the cupboard. I mean, doing all of those things are great, but if you want an easy way to reduce your risk of heart problems, cancer and dementia, then just don't light the fire. And that's the focus of Clean Air Night, coming up on Wednesday, the 22nd of January. So let's find out more from Matthew Clark, who's the Programme Manager for Air Quality, Sustainable Growth and Public Health Service at Herts County Council. Matt, thank you very much for joining me today. So, is the smoke from our wood fires really that harmful?
I think, in a nutshell, the answer to this is yes. It generates a lot of what we call fine particulates, or PM2.5. So the 2.5, the number, means the diameter of the pollutant, and it's really small. We're talking about a tenth of the diameter of a hair and below. So you can't see it, you don't necessarily know it's there, but it gets deep into your lungs and penetrates straight through the lining of the lungs into the blood, where it can get taken all around the body to every organ, which is why air pollution generally impacts on every organ in the body. And if we're talking about wood burning, and there have been studies that have found that circa 40%, I think 43% increase in lung cancer risk has been attributed in one study. So we know that the kind of pollution that is emitted is of a sort which is having significant health impacts, and studies in particular places where they've delved into it specifically have come up with some quite staggering statistics, like the last one, that 43% increase in lung cancer if you are someone that is exposed to burning of wood or in a fireplace or a stove.
Wow. So just thinking about those stoves, there are some apparently very efficient new wood-burning stoves with doors that you can keep shut. Are those safe, or do those have similar risks?
It's certainly true to say that where you have a closed burning system, so you've locked it away, closed the door, that is going to produce less pollution into the room and probably less pollution out of the chimney than if we compare that to an open fire. So I think there's a little bit of a win to be mentioned here, that where people are burning and may currently have an open fire, actually changing to a closed system would significantly reduce the pollution that they are exposed to and the pollution that is being put out into the environment, which will come down on the neighbourhood. But you're still not removing all of the pollution. The statistic that comes up time and time again is that in a room with a closed log burner, probably looking at about three times as much fine particulate pollution in the room as compared to a non-burning home. So that's a tripling of the PM2.5s that are in there. An interesting second part to that question was about these kind of eco-design burners and the more modern, more efficient burners, and certainly they burn much more efficiently, so you can get more heat out of them for the same amount of fuel in. But these appliances are similar, we've found in the studies that I'm aware of, providing about three times much more pollution as compared to a non-burning household. An additional challenge often there is that efficient burning is great, but it certainly reduces the size of the particulates that are produced. And we seem to be finding that now. So if you look at a chimney stack today that's burning an appropriate fuel in an appropriate new eco-design appliance, you may well not be able to tell that the fire is on. You won't necessarily see any dark smoke billowing out of the chimney. And that's part of the challenge for air pollution as an agenda. We can't see the pollution, but it is there. And as I say, the newer appliances may be producing smaller sized particulates than other older appliances. I'm not suggesting there for a second that if you've got an old appliance, don't go out and swap to a new appliance. But it's just information which is helpful to have, I think, as we kind of talk about this topic.
Yes, indeed. And as you say, it's the small size of those particulates that mean that they can reach so deep into our bodies. Now, you mentioned burning appropriate fuel there. And the government does have approved kiln-dried wood. There's a standard that it has to conform to. So if you're burning that, are you better? Are you safe then?
So the standard that's applied to fuels nowadays is to get your burn better, the drier the wood, the better, and you will produce less pollutants. So certainly the DEFRA Burn Better campaign would promote burning the right fuel on the right appliance. And in terms of wood, that 20% or less moisture content is really critical. It's the reason why everyone is suggested to season wood before burning. So if you've gone out and foraged for some wood, you wouldn't want to take that home and stick it straight on a fire that evening because the moisture content will be too high. It won't burn well. You'll end up wasting a lot of the energy that you're trying to create warmth with to put into your homes. So burning the right wood and dry fuel, is certainly going to make your burn more efficient. It's going to produce less pollution and you're going to get a better heat return from it in the long run as well.
And how about as far as the risk goes? Is the smoke risk on that negligible or is it still something that we should be concerned about?
It's significant if you're considering a dry wood compared to a very wet wood. Going back to the previous question and my answer to that of if we're burning efficiently, that's great in some sense, but we're maybe producing smaller particulates and we are still producing the particulates even though we can't see them. So again, in those eco-design burners, burning the right fuel, we're still seeing three times as much pollution in the room as we are compared to a non-burning household.
I suppose for most of us who are burning wood, we're doing it well because we love a fire. And okay, you know, you tell us about the risks. There's risk from eating chocolate. There's risks from a glass of wine. But it's just something that we enjoy. So if we want to just enjoy a fire and put up with the risks, what's the problem with that? It's our personal health. Surely that shouldn't be an issue.
It's very easy, isn't it, to think of something we do within the confines of our own four walls and think that it doesn't impact on somebody else. But there's so many circumstances where we know that this isn't the case. Most local authorities will tell you that the vast majority of the noise complaints they receive will be between one domestic property and another. And if we're talking about burning, well, where's all that smoke going? We're sending it up a chimney where it potentially is coming down on our neighbours and on the rest of our community. So it's not just about the impact on ourselves that I think we should be thinking about any choice we make. We should be trying to think about what's the best that we can do for myself, my family and those around me.
I suppose the other thing is, even if wood smoke is harmful to health, it's not something new, is it? You know, it feels like it's something very natural, something that humans have been doing for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. Surely it's the most environmentally friendly way to heat our home, just using local wood, like our ancestors have done for a long time.
The question around sustainability is a really interesting one, because I feel that quite often people who have historically looked to move towards a wood burning system at home have been looking to get off grid and be self-sustainable, and are often very green minded. Whereas actually this is a bit of a juxtaposition here, that actually something has been done maybe with best intent, but actually we have evidence now to suggest that this isn't the case. Now, on the Clean Air Hub, there's lots of detailed information there around the sustainability potential. And actually, it's cleaner in terms of the carbon impact to burn a fossil fuel gas than it is to burn the wood. It's also cleaner in terms of the air pollutants that are emitted to be burning gas compared to burning wood. But it seems to be a bit of a paradox that in people's heads, that burning a fossil fuel could be actually better than burning something that's seen to be renewable. Another point that we often make on the renewable factor is, where's the timeline in which we're benchmarking renewable? Here in Hertfordshire and the UK and internationally, there are lots of goals for reaching carbon targets by 2050. Now, if we're burning wood today, we are very unlikely to see that carbon recaptured and taken into a new tree by 2050. So we are, in that sense, it certainly isn't renewable either, because it is going to mean that we miss our carbon targets, which are there for all that raft of reasons, which we are feeling the consequence now. If we think of some of the flooding we've seen in the county, we don't want to be maybe fooling ourselves into feeling that we've got this wood and it's a renewable source, turning to that, because actually it probably isn't doing us the favours that we think it might be.
I suppose another place in which we might be fooling ourselves is the cost of burning wood. It is definitely perceived as being a cheap thing to do, and in a cost of living crisis, that feels like a positive thing, and is a reason why a lot of people will be choosing to burn wood. Do you have anything to help us with that?
Yes, if someone is going out and foraging for wood locally and then seasoning that wood and burning that wood, of course, that's going to be a cheaper option, isn't it? But if folks are going out and purchasing wood, there has been a study which is published again on the Clean Air Hub, which compares the cost of wood burning with the cost of central heating, and finds that the wood burning approach, if you're going out and purchasing all of your wood, is more expensive than gas central heating in that case. So it's not necessarily true that burning wood is a cheaper fuel. If someone's burning in a house in a rural setting, maybe, where, you know, I have to burn wood, this is the way that I heat my house, there is no gas around, absolutely those people should be keeping themselves warm, burning to keep warm. So it's a challenging picture, and it's split between rural and urban. But certainly if you're purchasing wood to burn, it is quite possible that it is more expensive than if you were to heat the home to the same temperature with your existing central heating system.
Okay. So you've explained to us how burning wood, it's bad for our health, it's not great for the planet either, and more often than not, it's not even cheap. So what would you like us to do on Clean Air Night coming up on the 22nd of January?
Yes, it's a great question. Thank you for raising it. We are at the beginning of a conversation here. So last year was the first ever Clean Air Night that started to talk about wood burning in the public domain. And this year is year number two. And we have our Cleaner Air Programme Action Plan here at Hertfordshire County Council, where we have 7 priority action areas to be looking into. One of those is to look at how we can, for future, start to enable behaviour change to a lower pollution environment. But before any one of us can think about changing or amending our behaviour, we need to understand and be aware of all the information that surrounds it, so we can make an informed choice for our own circumstance and for our own families and communities. And that's what we're asking people to do. And that's the ethos of Clean Air Night. And on the Clean Air Hub, it will say the same, that on the 22nd of January, we're asking people to find out a bit more by visiting the hub, and to maybe see if they can, you know, go and test that information out or start sharing that information. Could be with friends and family to start raising awareness that actually there's a key pollution issue here that needs to be addressed. And just to say how big an issue it is, domestic wood burning is the largest source of fine particulates in the UK, more than transport. You know, it's domestic burning. And a paper that's been created using data from Birmingham that's due to be published next month is talking about, specifically about air pollution and fine particulate pollutants, and actually starting to speciate between some is from transport, some is from industry, some is from wood burning, some is from, there's a huge amount of different components. The conclusions from that study are that targeted measures to reduce wood burning and road traffic are where we can have the greatest potential to reduce fine particulates here in the UK. And I think that's quite striking, isn't it? That we all have known for a long time that transport creates a lot of pollution. I would suggest that we certainly haven't been thinking for a long time in the general public sphere that burning wood is up there and rates alongside it. So I think that that's what we want people to start appreciating and understanding and sharing if they can, and just having a conversation on the 22nd of January.
Well, you've certainly helped raise awareness of the issues with us here today, Matt. Thank you so much for taking us through that.
Very welcome. Thank you.
So if you're looking to take Matt's advice and check out the facts on wood burning and air pollution for yourself, then simply search for Clean Air Night or follow the link that I'll put into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And a big thank you to listener Miles, who got in touch to ask me to sort out a problem he discovered with the podcast of the New Year Environment Matters episode. Hopefully all sorted now. But if you spot a problem, or if you've got a comment, or if you've got a request, then do get in touch. You can email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.